It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to say before I get started, it's an honor to stand before you. I was just sitting there thinking, I think it's been about 34 years ago. I was in a classroom, a Bible classroom, and Mr. Weeks was my teacher. And I want to say, me and my wife was talking yesterday coming, I was like, I never thought I would have been reversed and I'd have been in front of him. Never in a thousand years would I ever thought I'd have been in front of that man. But I want to say it's an honor to be here this morning. July the 20th, 1969, three men by the name of Michael Collins and Edrin Jr. and Neil Armstrong took a flight mission to the moon. They took the flight mission on Apollo 11, and after describing the surface of the moon, very fine-like, powder-like powder-like substance, you'll see that Neil Armstrong stepped off the foot pad and uttered these words: "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Neil Armstrong had done what no man had ever done. Neil Armstrong had stepped off the foot pad and walked on the moon. And today we're going to talk about another guy in Scripture, a man that had did what no man had ever done. It's a man by the name of Peter. Peter simply stepped off the boat and he walked on water. I want to bring you a message entitled "Stepping Out of the Boat." If you have a Bible, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. I thought Mr. Neil was going to take my message this morning. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin our reading in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. But as you're going there, I want to kind of get you up to date where we're at. The story before this, when just before the Jesus walking on the water, you'll find the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 is a miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. It's the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. It's probably one of my favorite miracles. Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 21 there, he says that he fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So he took 5 little loaves of bread and 2 little salt fish, and he fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. But everything Jesus didn't do anything without purpose. He had a purpose behind everything he did. If he did a miracle, he had a purpose behind that miracle. If he told a parable, he had a purpose behind it. When he fed these 5,000 men, not counting women and children, he had a purpose in it. You see, he wanted them to see something. He wanted them to see that not only did this bread satisfy, but he wanted them to see that he was the bread. He didn't want them just to know that he had the power. He wanted them to see that he was that power. You see, he didn't want them just to them to think of him as a man sent from God. He wanted them to see that he was God. And in this passage, the Jesus walking on the water, we're going to see that Jesus is not just a man sent from God. But we're going to see that Jesus is God. If you have a Bible, turn your Bibles. You should be there, chapter 14, starting our reading in verse 22. And I hate to get old because I have to put on my eyes. Reading in verse 22, Jesus walking on the water. And the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent the multitude away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit or a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered and said to him, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was walked And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he called him and said to him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for all you've done. Lord, we wonder sometimes why men pray before they preach. Lord, I believe it's one last cry for help. Lord, I need you. I need your help. Lord, we thank you for your word. We know, Lord, what you've said in your word is more important than anything I have to say. And Lord, but help me to proclaim your word this morning. Make me like water and pour me out upon this crowd this morning. Pour your Holy Spirit upon me. God, because I need you. And it's all in your name. Amen, amen. It's a story, a familiar story. You see, the disciples were there with Jesus at the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, women, and children. Now he had a great multitude of people, and he was going to disperse the crowd. He tells the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, to understand why Jesus wanted to disperse his crowd, you have to read all three accounts. See, this the walking on water, Jesus walking on water, is not found in Luke's Gospel. But it's found in Matthew and Mark, and it's found in John. So if you read all three accounts, you'll kind of get the whole story. You kind of read all three to get all of it. So, but you have Jesus finished to disperse the crowd. Why was Jesus going to disperse the crowd? Well, you see in John chapter 6, verse 15, that these people was going to make him king. They wanted to put him as king. Listen, if somebody can feed me and feed this great multitude, why not make him king? Why not? Listen. He's the man. Well, Jesus knew that his disciples would probably agree with the crowd. Listen, let's make you king. That's a good idea. So Jesus sends them to the other side while he disperses the crowd. So he's trying to get rid of the crowd, and he sends them to the other side. Now he knows what's going to happen. He knows that they're going to get into a storm. Now the Bible says that they've rowed that boat about 20 to 30 furlongs. A furlong is about 606 feet. It's 1/8 of a Roman mile. So if you calculate it out, they went about 4 miles across the Sea of Galilee. Well, the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and it's about 8 miles wide. So they made it about halfway across the Sea of Galilee and the storm comes. They're doing everything they can to get to the other side. Now they're in the midst of this storm and they're wondering, where is Jesus? What in the midst of this storm? Now, why are they in the midst of the storm? They're in the midst of the storm because Jesus told them, he compelled them or constrained them. He told them by force. He literally had to force them to go to the other side. So they're in the middle of the storm because Jesus told them to be in the middle of the storm. Now, not all the time that we're in a storm. I don't know where you at in your life, but you may be in a storm today. Listen, there's people who are facing cancer. There's people who are facing all kinds of sickness. And there may be a storm in their life. I don't know what your storm may be. But sometimes we're in a storm not because Jesus told us to be there and he wants to show us something, but because of disobedience. We know Jonah. Jonah was in a storm not because of Jesus seeing him in that storm. He was in that storm because he went the opposite direction. Jonah chapter 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is coming up before me. And then you see a three-letter word, but. But Jonah arose, went down to Tarshish. He went to Joppa and found a boat going to Tarshish, paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with him from the presence of the Lord to Tarshish. So here he was wanting to go to Tarshish, and God said, go to Nineveh. And then you see another three-letter word, but. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea that the sea was about, there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was about to be broken. So here the ship was about to be broken up. We know the story that Jonah literally got thrown overboard and he got swallowed up by a great fish. Why? He was in a storm not because God wanted him to be there. He was on a storm because he had disobeyed God. There's people I know in life that are going through storms of life because they're literally disobedient to God. They have disobeyed God and they end up in a storm. But that wasn't the case with the disciples. There are sometimes we're in a storm of life because God just wants to show us something. The case with the disciples, He was there. The only reason they were in this storm was God wanted them to see something. He didn't want them to see that He was just a son of God. He wanted them to see that He was God. So He sends them in the midst of the storm because He wants to show them something. Here they are in the middle of this storm. They're rowing. Jesus is up on a mountain. He's praying and He's watching. I believe He could see them in the midst of this storm. So here He is watching His disciples. They're rowing. They're doing everything they can to get to the other side. And He said, I'm not going to make it. So He comes and walks in the middle of the storm. Listen, He didn't calm the storm. The Bible says in the midst of the storm, He comes walking on the water. Listen, the waves are crashing over the boat. The waves are it's raining hard. You imagine one of the worst storms in your life. And they're in the middle of the storm trying to get to the other side. And here Jesus comes, the Bible says, in the fourth watch of the night, walking on the water. Now, there's four watches in a night. The first watch starts at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock is the first watch. From 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock midnight, it's the second watch. From 12 o'clock midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning, it's the third watch. And from 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock a.m., it's the fourth watch. Listen, they had tried their best all night long to get to the other side. Now it's the fourth watch of the night. It's anywhere from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun is almost to rise. And they're in the midst of this storm, and Jesus comes walking on the water. I can't imagine what was going on in their mind when all this was taking place, and Jesus comes to the fourth watch of the night. But let me give you some hope. It may be that you're in a storm. And you may be in a storm that Jesus is trying to show you something. It may be in a storm of disobedience. I don't know where your storm is. But I can promise you, Jesus will show up in your storm. Listen, I believe with all my heart that the church is in a storm today. And Jesus is coming back. My son, Andrew, one of his favorite verses is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. For God is not slack concerning His promises, as men count slackness, but as long-suffering towards us. And it's long suffering that none of us should perish, but all come to repentance. Listen, God is not slack concerning His promises. He said He's coming back for His church. He's coming back for the bride of Christ. He's coming back. He's waiting on God to say, go get your bride. Listen, I believe with all my heart, He's coming back. It may not be into the fourth watch of the night when He comes, but He's coming. Listen, they had went all night long. And they waited and they waited and they waited. Where is Jesus at? And He shows up walking on the water. Now, the Bible says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 48, it says that Jesus wasn't planning on stopping. The Bible says that Jesus came to them walking on the water and He was just going to pass them by. All He wanted them to do is watch Him. That's all. He was innocent. He wasn't going to say anything. He wanted them to see Him walking on the water. But because they thought it was a ghost, He decided to stop. Now, why didn't He just come walking on the water and the Bible says that He was just going to pass them by? Why? He wanted them to have the same experience that Moses had. You see the same terms. You see the same terms in Exodus chapter 33. In Exodus chapter 33, you see Moses wanted to see God. Moses wanted to see God and God says, listen, you can't see me and live. There's no man can see me. I believe that's why we have to have a resurrection body, because we want to see God. Listen, He said, no man can see me and live. He said, but I got an idea. He said, I'll put you up in the cliff of the rock. And He says, when I pass by you, He said, I'll put my hand up to your face. And He says, when I get past you, He said, I'll lift my hand and you can see my backside. So that's what happens. He puts Moses up in the cliff of the rock. When He passes by him, He lifts His hand and Moses was able to see the backside of God. Moses was able to see the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of God. And I believe with all my heart, Jesus wanted His disciples to have the same experience that Moses had. He wanted them to see the Shekinah glory. He wanted them to see the visible presence of God. You see, He also wanted to answer a question. It was a question that was given, and you can find it in Mark chapter 4. You can find it in Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. See, this was the only time that Jesus had ever been in a storm with his disciples. Jesus had been in a storm many times before, but one of the times he was in a storm, he was in a boat asleep. They were in a storm, fighting a storm, not knowing what to do, and Jesus is down in the bottom of the boat, and they wake him up. And then he calms the storm. Then he asks a question. What manner of man is this? And you can find it in Matthew 8, Luke 8, and Mark 4. The same question. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. So here he is walking on the water. He wanted to answer that question. Listen, he wasn't just the Son of God. He was God. So he comes walking on the water. He was going to pass by, but he thought it was a ghost. He said, listen, be of good cheer. He said, listen, it's I. And Peter says, I think he just recognized the voice. Even though the wind was doing what it was doing, the rain was pouring down, the waves was crashing into the boat. And Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. Now, Jesus makes an interesting statement here. Jesus simply says, come. That's all he says. Now, he uses this word many times in Scripture. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18, I think it's the calling of the disciples. He calls four of the disciples. He said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30, he's up on a mountain. He says, listen, he's looking at a great multitude of people. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, listen, come unto me. Listen, I believe he wanted every person in that audience to come. I believe the C and the O and the M and the E stood for something. The C stood for children come. The O stood for older people come. The M stood for middle-class people come. The E stood for everybody to come. I believe he wanted everybody to come. But then in John chapter 11, it's a different case. Lazarus has died, his best friend. He goes there and Martha and Mary are crying. Shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, 35, Jesus weeps. He weeps. And he looks at Mary and he says, listen, where's Lazarus? Roll back the tomb. She says, no, we can't. Listen, he's been there for 4 days. His body began to stink. He says, listen, roll back the stone. They roll back the stone and the Bible says that he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus rose from the dead. Can you imagine? Somebody rising from the dead just because Jesus said, rise. And he rose from the dead. Now, I don't know this, but I've heard Bible scholars and I've read behind people that said it, that if he wouldn't have said, Lazarus, come forth, if he'd have just opened that tomb and he'd have said, come, it may have been that everybody that had been dead may have raised from the dead. But he put a name in front of it. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus rose from the dead. But if you'll go back to Peter, when Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come, Jesus didn't say, Peter, come. That's not what he said. He said, come. I believe that he expected every person in that boat to step out. I believe he wanted everybody to step out of that boat and start walking on the water towards him. But Peter gets a bad rap sometimes. And listen, Peter's out of the boat. But yet he has little faith. There's 11 disciples in the boat that we don't talk about. So here's Peter. Listen, he immediately steps out the boat. And he starts walking on the water to Jesus. Can you imagine what was going on in the boat? I don't know if y'all have ever had the privilege to fish at night. But I have. I enjoy fishing at night. I love fishing at night. My grandfather was a fisherman. My family fishes. We like to fish. And we like to fish at night. My brother's actually invented things to be able to fish at night. We love to fish at night. But
In the daytime when you're fishing, listen, it may be hot outside and you may want to jump in the water. That's all good. I can see somebody doing that. Oh, it's hot. We're going to jump in the water for a few minutes and cool off. But not at night. You listen, you don't get nobody to say, listen, oh, I think I'll get in the water tonight. No, that don't happen. Listen, it's dark. Listen, I'm on my calm night. Nobody don't want to get in the water. But can you imagine the waves crashing over your boat? Can you imagine the storm, the wind, and everything going on? And Peter is going to step out of the boat. You imagine the people that's in the boat, what they're saying? I can imagine if somebody was in my boat and they were going to step out and it was just dark. I say, man, so, whoa, I might not find you. Listen, you can't do that. Listen, if you get out of that boat, you may drown. The water's dark. Listen, we'd go to the Tailrace Canal up to the Musk Corner, and the water's clear. I can shine the light down, and I can see 4 or 5 foot down. It's so clear. But at nighttime, I'm still not getting out. So, listen, I don't care how clear the Sea of Galilee might have been. Listen, these guys weren't going to get out in the middle of the night. So here Jesus, Peter finna step out of the boat, and the other disciples saying, man, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Are you losing your mind? You can't do that. Sound like a lot of church people doing it. You know, one person tries to step out the boat, and you got 99 more just pulling you back in. Listen, how many people you ever thought of in your life that have stepped out the boat? You know people right now. You can think of people in your mind that have stepped out the boat. I think of Katie Davis in Uganda. They adopted them 14 children. All she done was step out the boat. That's all she done. Listen, I think of missionary after missionary after missionary after missionary. I know personally that I've been to. Listen, I've been to Haiti. I've been to Mexico. I've been to the Romania. I've seen missionaries firsthand that have given their life for Christ. I went to Haiti and me and my son when he was 14, my oldest son, went to Haiti and it was the missionary's wife who met us and drove us back in. We drove 26 miles. It took us 7.5 hours. And he says, listen, I got to get my wife something. It's her birthday. And he stops by a little place and he picks up a Diet Coke. And I was like, you getting a Diet Coke for your wife? Leave her. He says, yes, she loves this Diet Coke and she can't get it. But we take it for granted. The most important thing I've seen in Haiti was a water bottle. A little 20-ounce water bottle we throw away every day. We took that and washed that out every day and reused it. Because if you didn't have that, you didn't have anything to drink out of. But yet, this man, he literally stepped out the boat. That's all he done. How many people do you know that's literally stepped out the boat? Missionaries. I think of Mr. and Mrs. Weeks years ago. When they started Calvary Christian School, I can imagine the negativity was going on. Well, I mean, we don't need a Christian school. We got all these other schools. Well, won't you send your kids there? But yet they stepped out of the boat and they started a Christian school. Listen, my wife got saved in that Christian school. Because somebody was willing to step out the boat. What are we doing today? So many times we're comfortable in the boat and we're sitting down in the boat. And we're comfortable in the boat. Listen, we ain't got to worry about the water. We ain't got to worry about the waves. And we get comfortable in the boat. And we don't want to step out. Listen, all I'm asking today, all Jesus is asking today, is for you to live simply, do what Peter did, and step out of the boat. Regardless of what's being said in the boat, regardless of who's talking and who's saying what, I can imagine what some of the disciples could have said or what they have said. Listen, you have to use your sanctified imagination. It doesn't give us what they said. But I know if I'd have been in that boat, somebody would have stepped out, I'd have said, man, you're crazy. Man, don't do it. I don't even know if they had life jackets back then. I doubt it. But Peter wasn't worried about all that. Peter was focused on Christ. He knew what was in front of him. He knew that he could stop. He knew he could calm the storm. He knew that. Yes, he got out the boat and he sunk a little bit. But he got out the boat. Listen, he didn't say it was going to be easy when you got out the boat. Listen, I know preachers, I know teachers, I know people, listen, have went into full-time Christian service and literally just stepped out the boat. It's not easy out the boat. It's a lot easier in the boat. I think of
I wasn't going to tell this.
It just came to my mind. The Titanic. When all them life preserves and them lifeboats, some of them only half full.
You see, when the funeral ships arrived from Nova Scotia the next morning, after all this had happened, they found a ghost beside upon the water. There was 328 life jacketed men, women, and children on them waters, them icy waters. Now listen, them children and them men and them women didn't die because of the icy waters. Them men and women and children died because to save people in the lifeboat wouldn't go back to rescue to die. We get comfortable in the boat. All I'm asking you is to step out the boat. You know, this is a picture of the church. Church is in a storm, y'all. This whole passage, I believe, is a picture of the church. We're in the greatest storm in my lifetime that I think the church has ever been in. I've never thought in 1,000 years what's happening to the church would happen today. We're in a storm. But we have hope. Jesus is our intercessor. Listen, he's just like he's on that mountain praying for the disciples, just like he was on that mountain watching them. He's up in heaven. He's on the right hand of God. He's our intercessor. He's making intercession for me and you. He's praying for us. And he's praying for you. And he's praying for the church. Listen, he's coming back for the church. Listen, it may be the fourth watch of the night when he comes back. But I promise you, he's not slack concerning his promises. I promise you that he's coming back for the church. Listen, I don't care what storm you're in. Listen, you may be in a storm of disobedience. Listen, God showed up and calmed the storm. You may end up in the belly of a fish when he does it. But he showed up and he calmed the storm. God will calm your storm, regardless of what storm it is. Listen, eyes hadn't seen. Ears hadn't heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for me and you. He's coming back to get us. I'll tell you a story and I'm going to end. The story was of Abraham Lincoln. It was in the heights of the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln had lost his son and he was in the middle of a war. He felt like he was at the bottom of his life. He'd often find refuge in a Presbyterian church in Washington, D.C. He would go in and he didn't want to disrupt the church. He was the President of the United States. He would go in and he would go off to the side, right beside the pastor's study. He would sit and he'd always come with an aide. The aide would come in and he would sit with him. He would listen to the sermon and then the church would be over and he would kind of wait to people dismissed before he would leave. The sermon got over and people started dismissing and he kind of stood up and straightened his long jacket. And the aide that was with him, he knew he had a minute and he said, "Mr. President, how'd you enjoy the sermon today?" Mr. President said, "Well, it was clearly thought through," and he said it was adequately delivered. The aide thought for a second. He said, "Well, Mr. President, you really enjoyed the sermon then. You thought he'd done a good job. You thought the preacher done a good job." And he says, "No." He said, I think he failed." He said, "Failed? Why? How?" And the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, said this. He said he failed because he didn't ask of us something great. Listen, I'm asking you this morning. I'm begging you this morning. All I want you to do is step out the boat. Listen, it may be that all you have to do, it may be a co-worker that he's wanting you to tell about Jesus. It may be a loved one that you need to go and tell about Jesus. You know, people want to go across the United States. They want to go in another country. I believe with all my heart we need to step out our front door and go to a neighbor. It may be that God's wanting us to step out the boat just to go to a neighbor and tell about Jesus. Listen, he's coming back. What are we doing? Step out the boat. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for everything you've done. I don't know the hearts and minds of people here. It may be that one person here is lost. I don't know. God, I pray today that they step out the boat and come to you. Lord, that they'll find someone. They'll reach someone that they know is saved. And they'll go to them and they'll be able to open God's Word and show them the plan way of salvation. God, but there may be someone here in a storm. They may be facing something. Lord, I don't know what they're facing. But Lord, you know all things. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you come and calm their storm. Lord, they may be been fighting for a long time. They may be at their darkest hour. But God, show up in their storm. I pray that. Lord, it may be that someone's wanting to serve you full time somewhere. Maybe a teacher or a preacher or I don't know. God, help them to step out the boat. God, before all of us, help us to go to a neighbor, a co-worker, a family member, whoever. Lord, it's not easy. I know. God, help us to step out the boat and go and tell someone about you. God, we thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for your Word. There's so much in it. Thank you for the Word of God. And God, we thank you for this church and this ministry. God, it's all in your name. Amen, amen. Consider yourself dismissed.